thinking about the things we believe, there is a book in the Old Testament that is kind of gives us a thumbnail sketch of nearly everything that we believe about God, eternity, so forth. It's the book of Jonah. People think about Jonah, mostly they think about the whale. And that is important. And folks struggle with the idea. Not long ago, I listened to a college professor talking about Christian faith. And he said the idea that there was a great flood, wiped out everything in the world, and all the animals, two by two, went into an ark. He said, parents shouldn't teach their children things like that. Well, I can't prove it happened that way, you know, by scientific data. And folks have had that argument a lot about Jonah. What kind of fish has ever been known in the Mediterranean as big enough to swallow a man? How would a man live in a fish for 3 days? I think that's irrelevant. You either believe the Bible or you don't. If you believe in God, then you have to accept that he's big enough to do what he wants to with his world. So I don't want to spend any time working with those ideas. I've read some scientific studies about how it was possible, but I think that's mostly a waste of time myself, because it's proven something to me that I already believe, so I don't need it. So let's look at the other things that are in the book of Jonah. It's unique in the Old Testament for this reason. We know, as we study it, that God had what he called out separate people, descendants of Abraham. There were indications, there were prophecies once in a while to other people. But Jonah is the only one who was called from Israel to go spend his whole ministry with another group of people besides the Israelites. And the reason that's important to me, especially, is because I don't have, as far as I know, a drop of Jewish blood in my body. And had it not been that the Lord cared for all the world's people, there would have been no chance for my soul. This is a precursor of Jesus' ministry. It's a forerunner, in a way, of the message that Paul brought and Peter after the day of Pentecost, that the plan of salvation is not just to a select group, that in every nation, he that feareth God and serveth him is accepted of him. So there's a lot that way in the book of Jonah. And there is this also in the book of Jonah. Jonah, in a sense, you could almost say, represented the Jewish nation in what he did. It's hard to look at somebody else's face and know how God talks to them. It's like trying to describe to somebody what ice cream tastes like. You can't be in another person's life. But from my own experience, the person tries to follow the Lord and God chooses to call, I know that there is a way the Lord has of making his voice so clear and so strong that it overrides everything else. And Jonah got such a call. He knew it was the Lord. It's not debated in the book of Jonah. He never says, I don't know whether this is God or not. It may be the devil. It may just be my own mind. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. No ifs, ands. He was very clear that's what had happened, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. This message teaches us that God cares about the wickedness that's in the world. We'll never get through all of this tonight. We'll just kind of scratch the surface a little bit. I think about the wickedness that's going on in our world. Remember what the Lord said? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, in the Sermon on the Mount. And what he was talking about there, really, is not just grieving because of the loss of a loved one. Perhaps it includes that. but it is grieving over the wickedness, what sin is doing to our families, to our nation, to those we love. How much better off this world would be had Adam and Eve never done what they did. How much better off would every one of our families be if everyone in it had lived saved? It would have saved enormous amount of heartache. Well, there are people who get bitter about that. And there are people who get indifferent about that. You know, shut themselves off. That's them. This is me. I'll live my life. You live yours. But the Lord said, blessed are they that mourn. And it means those that can't be indifferent. And that don't become bitter. They just care. And they love them. And they pray for them. And do the best you can to reach out a helping hand. And try to reach where they are. Well, Nineveh was a wicked city. And the scripture teaches us here that the Lord did not just abandon them to their wickedness. He cared. And he sent somebody down to try to help them. That's a fundamental precept in our belief system. I know everyone here to a degree tonight. And I know that I'm looking in the faces of people who have someone that you love very dearly who's caught somewhere in the devil's trap. Well, my little message this evening is, it's worth the trouble to keep on praying for them. The Lord loves them. He knows where they are. He's seen what they've gone into. Look how, even in this storm, you know the story of Jonah. He got on a ship. There came up a great storm, threw him overboard. The whale swallowed him. He went to Nineveh and prophesied. That's a short version. Even when the storm was at its worst, the Lord never lost sight of Jonah. He never forgot about the ship. He did not allow this ship to go down. Even when Jonah was in the water, the Lord still made provision for him. Don't you think when we get down on our faces before God and weep and fast maybe and pray alone and in agreement with God's people for those we love, he still hears that the same way. And he's capable of going to find those that we're praying for and touch them. He regulates the storm. He knows what to do. That's one of the lessons of Jonah. Well, so the Lord sent him a message, and Jonah reacted like Israel. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I'm very glad this is in the scripture. It's here in other ways, in other places, but it's very plain in the book of Jonah. Jonah trying to get away from the presence of the Lord, and the Lord saw that. Maybe the Lord thought, I'll show you, Jonah, how far you can go and still not get away from my presence. And not spend a lot of time with this because it's a horrifying thought. But you know what a digestive tract of an animal or person is like? I don't think there was a sitting room table and electric lighting inside that fish where Jonah was. I think a person could lose their mind in total darkness, surrounded by the entrails of this animal compressing against you. If your foot itched, there's probably nothing you could do to scratch it. He's in there 3 days. The Lord validated this story because he used it to compare it to his interment in the tomb as well. So if we disbelieve the book of Jonah, we've got to disbelieve something about Jesus. And in all of this, when Jonah reached the bottom, he cried out and said, Lord, you were with me in the bottom of the sea. Now, I thought that I would go to Tarshish to run from your presence, but I know now. There's nowhere I can go to get away from the presence of the Lord. I'm glad that's true too. This book has just got so much in it about what all we believe about the things of God. Wherever we go, God will be there. Remember we sing a song sometimes that talks about that? See, the Lord hath made us by his mighty power. And he says if we go up into heavens, he's up there. And if we go below the earth, he's there. He's there with us before we're born. He's there with us if we find ourselves in the depths of sin and shame. The Lord is still there. If we find ourselves far away and isolated from anybody else we know who walks in the ways of God, he's still there. He is there. Thank God he is there. When we arrive at that moment in life where every one of us must go alone, at the time of our death, he's still there. He'll go with us. I stood around Mr. Bell's bedside in the intensive care unit last week. And we would speak to him. He'd had a stroke and a cerebral hemorrhage. And we'd speak to him, and his eyes would flash open, and his legs would move a little bit, and immediately they'd close again. We couldn't talk to him very much. He can't do anything to communicate with us. There are places like that in life, and yet he's still somewhere. Have you ever been that way? I've been unconscious. And in being unconscious, unable to respond to my surroundings in any way, still there is an awareness. I don't know how to describe it, but it's there. I've been delirious. My Wilsons get delirious with high fever pretty easily, and go out of my mind. I can remember tonight some of the places that I've been when I was delirious. I remember feeling like I was walking along a fence line with a stick in my hand, striking all of the fence posts as I went along. Now, I don't know why, but the Lord is still in those places too. Could I say it? It's worth the trouble to pray for people when they're just nearly beyond our ability to touch or reach them in. We don't know how far God is able to reach down and touch a soul. In the end, we come to a place where nobody can help us. Every one of us, no matter how beloved, no matter how close, we're going to leave this world alone. But in the end, the Lord said, "Lo, I am with thee always, even unto death." When no one can go there anymore, the Lord will still be there. So he demonstrated with Jonah. He followed Jonah. Jonah was trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. The Lord went with Jonah, not only when he headed toward Tarshish, he was still there when the ship sailed, still there when the storm came, still there when they threw him into water, still there when Jonah, how could it be possible, down at the bottom of the sea, in the ship's belly, or in the fish's belly, God was still there. Praise God. Wherever he lets you and me go, folks, he'll still be there. And Jonah went these places, being out of the order of God. There's some things I look at and I say, this is not reward. This is not the Lord recognizing my righteousness. It's just his mercy. Why would the Lord show that to Jonah? Jonah was headed the wrong way. This is there as a comfort to me and to you. I've been trying to live my life for the Lord for a long time now, but I haven't always done it well. I've done some foolish things, and there was a time when I was heading away from him as fast as I could go. The Lord would have been righteous just to cut me off. Why bother with that one anymore? I've talked to him and given him a chance and decided to go another way. It's his decision, but he didn't. He had mercy on me. That's my prayer for those I love. I got some I love right now, and you have too, that are just resolutely heading the wrong way. Now, I'm firmly convinced as long as there's life, there's hope. And it's worth the trouble to pray for people. Somebody prayed for you and me. And that's why every one of us are here. And our prayers are capable of having value to those we love. So Jonah rose up, flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Went down to Joppa, found a ship. The Lord sent a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God. Now, we don't know much about these sailors. We don't know who they were or what their background was. All the Bible tells us is that there was a ship, that it was headed toward Tarshish. And whoever these sailors were, just random chance, you know, do you think Jonah weighed them out? Here's five ships at the dock, all going to Tarshish. Which one do I get on? Interview for the most spiritual sailors. I don't think so. He probably made his decision based on money. That's what most people do. So here they are. And I've lived a while down by New Orleans and seen some sailors down there, watched those big ships come in. They're Here in the United States, if you meet somebody, he's most likely to be an American citizen. But down there, they're from anywhere and everywhere. Just whoever happens to be on that ship. I suspect it was the same way here. Now, that's hypothesis. I can't prove it. But what is important about these is that every man, when the storm came, worshiped according to his gods. Because they had all kinds of them. We don't even know who they were. We just know they had a bunch of them. And they weren't having any success. They did everything that humans could do. And they couldn't save the ship. Well, you get in a place like that too in your life. But at any rate, they found Jonah and said, "Why aren't you praying to your God?" And, I'll read it to you. "Mariners were afraid, cried every man unto his God." It's in the first chapter in the fifth verse. "And cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came and said unto him, 'What are you doing down here? Call upon your God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not.'" That makes me think of 9/11. Our nation is in a lot more sin and darkness than I wish it were. And there are those who would like to make us think that it's farther away from God than it really is. But I was heartened when 9/11 came. I wasn't glad the buildings were knocked down, but I was glad to see people putting up signs everywhere. "United we stand, in God we trust." People that hadn't been to worship service in a long time started going to worship service. I saw footage of a police officer standing on the steps of the Capitol building singing "Amazing Grace" after that. And it's broadcast nationally. People had been fighting it a long time and they thought that religion was beginning to be subdued in this country. But in the right setting, it came to the top again. It's so hard to just actually not believe that there really is a God. It's in the times when people get in the deepest distress, when you've reached the limit of what you can do, it's just natural in a person to want to call out to a higher power. These men didn't have very much instruction, obviously, about what the higher power really is, but they called out to it, whatever they understood. And they came and got Jonah and said, "Man, surely you must believe in something. You better get up here and pray to it, whatever it is, along with the rest of us." So they got up and had their prayer. And they said, everyone to his fellow, "Come and let us cast lots." A lot of theories about where they got this idea. Then folks investigate to see what the practices had been in the past. And so I think God put it in their minds to do that. He wanted the attention to focus on Jonah. One reason I think that is because there have been so many times in my life, and I expect you've had some too, when God found a way to focus the attention where he wanted it to be. And see, we're talking a moment ago about praying for those we love. God deals with them in answer to prayer by convicting them and calling after their hearts. But he's also got a way of bringing circumstance to bear on those we love that brings them out into the open, that demonstrates it. It just touches them. It changes things. I mind a man we'd been praying for a long time. He was a drunkard. And he was a spousal abuser. He wouldn't hold a job very good. But his wife loved him. She was praying for him. He came to service one time. He got up and told us, "I'll tell you what your prayers are doing to me." He said, "I go out to the bar room and order my beer and I can't drink it." He said, "I look down in the table and I see the face of my wife and my children there." He said, "Somebody plays a song on the old jukebox and there's something in it that makes me think about God and my soul." He said, "Any time I get drunk, I've got to ride over all of that. It's not easy for me to live the life that I live." Of course, we're thinking, why don't you quit? The Lord wants to deliver you from it. And so, but the point is, God's got a way of focusing the attention where he wants. And he did it by these men casting lots. And it fell on Jonah, of course. And they said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What are you doing? And where are you from? What is your country?" And he said unto them, "I'm a Hebrew. And I fear Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of heaven. He made all this, the sea and the dry land." And they were afraid. Said unto him, why have you done this, what you've done? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then say unto him, what are we going to do? The sea may be calm unto us. If God stirring it up because of you, there's no point in our trying to make it calm. We'll never get this ship light enough. We're going to have to do something that touches God. I mind a message Brother Charles Taylor preached years ago. Said people get into troubles and they try to solve their troubles by getting involved in clubs. And they join the Elks and they join other groups of that sort and get active in organizations, and their troubles get active along with them. That's what happens when God's got his hand against a course that somebody's following. It doesn't work well for you to walk with the ways of the world. So they said to him, what are we going to do? If God made this storm, we can't change it. So we're going to have to get God to change it. And he said unto them, take me up, throw me out into the water. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. And they didn't want to do it. They could not. For the sea would all rot and was tempestuous against it. Wherefore? Now this is important. These pagan men from just anywhere, just whoever they happened to be, they cried unto God. Jonah's God. Whatever gods they'd been praying to before, they got to be believers in Jonah's God. He told them what God was doing, and it convinced them. If they were unconvinced, why throw Jonah overboard? But they were convinced, and they cried to the God of Jonah. Stopped praying to their gods and cried to the God of Jonah. That's what this means. They cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. That's a pretty good prayer, isn't it? And you know what the point of that is, of course? God is able to touch anybody and make them realize that he is God above everything else, and bring that person to a place where they're willing to call on him. God loves people that have never heard this gospel. God's got a way to touch people who've been raised far away from it all their lives, clear down at the end of life. God's got a way to reach to somebody like that. Peter, speaking about it on the day of Pentecost, said that this gospel is to those that are near and those that are far, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. We could say by those that are near in his time, that would be the Hebrews, the Israelites, have been raised to know it all their lives. Those that are far off, we could easily say, are the Gentiles. Some of them had never even heard that there is a God. Paul said, whom ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you, to the unknown God, because he didn't understand him. The call was still to them. And as many, wherever they are, near, far, in between, young, old, wherever they are, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's who the gospel is to. That is, the blessings of it never stop. I've known folks who said, you could say, gospel founder. You ever heard that phrase before? Grow up in a congregation, get tired of it. Looking for some adventure and something new and different. God still loves people like that, and he's got a way to reach them. People, of course, like these sailors who'd never heard it before, God's got a way to reach them and everybody in between. Very, very much appreciate where all he reaches and what his mercy is. So they took Jonah up, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now they pass out of the picture. We don't know anything that happened to any one of these sailors from this verse on. Not the shipmaster, not the lowest cabin boy. We don't know anything about them. They just pass out of the picture. They made vows. Wouldn't it be interesting to know what those vows were? And maybe some of these were young. It wasn't uncommon to have a 13-year-old boy or younger than that on the ship like that to take care of the master's possessions, do other shipboard duties. Wouldn't it be interesting to know what happened to them after these vows were made? You know how people do. Maybe after the storm died down, some of them kind of forgot about their vows. But what if they didn't? Maybe they didn't. Maybe Jonah's disobedience was a life-altering experience for someone on this ship, and it made the difference. Wouldn't it be interesting? Get over there on the other side and meet everybody that's there and find somebody that was on this ship. And come up and say, I made a vow that day before the Lord. And the Lord kept his end and I kept my end. And the result is, here I am today. The thing that, well, we use a scripture sometimes that says all things work together for good to them that love God. Things that are born out of disobedience and rebellion. Things that are crossing God's will. No question. Jonah did the wrong thing. God is able to take something like that and reach somebody from it and maybe get them into heaven as a consequence of it. God's still God when everything's said and done. God's still God. And you know, that's why we come to worship like this. We're not worshiping one another. We're not following a human leader. We're here to worship Almighty God in prayer, in expectation that he who gave us this record of what he did so many years ago in a similar manner will deal in our lives and have mercy on us when we need it. None of us are wise enough to call ourselves. Jonah, so far as we have any reason to believe, never crossed his mind or had any inclination to even want to go to Nineveh. It was contrary to Jewish belief. It tended to feel like those people weren't worth going to minister to anyway. And besides, he probably was afraid of them, because the Ninevites, if you study the history of them, they were very cruel people. They weren't very friendly to people came along trying to tell them how wrong they were and all the things they were doing and so forth. They didn't ever want to go there. And God is able to turn that around and bring mercy out of it to people that probably never would have found out about him any other way. So they took up Jonah, threw him into water, and the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Well, that's where I am. I was not a Jew. Were you? But the Lord had mercy on me and set some things in front of me. And because of that, I made some vows. Oh, and he made some promises. That's made all the difference. And I haven't done as well as I should have in keeping my vows. I'm still working on them. But looking back over 45 years or so, I can't say he's ever failed to keep one of his promises. He still stood by me. And all the generations before me, they all had the same testimony. Now, some things haven't worked out yet. But just because a storm lasted 3 days didn't mean it's going to last forever. Just because I have some battles that are not over yet, that doesn't mean they're not going to be over one day. What's that old chimney corner scripture say? All that I've seen causes me to trust God for all that I've not seen. So if I'm in a storm today, hold on. God's still the God of the storm. If he let this storm come up, he's big enough to calm it when he gets ready, and he'll never let it be more than he wants it to be. He knows how to protect you and me in the storm. So Jonah prayed unto God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like all my hope and dream of life, even my ability to protect my physical body, is just taken away from me and it's rolling over me? It makes me think of something Shakespeare wrote from Hamlet's soliloquy. He made the man to say, whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by so opposing end them. And the idea was, at one time when storms had come up along the coasts of England and other places, nobody could stop the tsunami from rolling in, but the fighting men would go down to the water with their swords and try to beat the waves back. And that's pretty hopeless. Couldn't. And that's what Shakespeare supposedly was referring to when he wrote that. But that's just as impossible as it is for us to deliver ourselves from our own troubles. Have you ever felt that way? The billows just rolling over me, and the best I can do is try to beat it back with a sword. And it just goes over me. And Jonah said, that's where I am. I can't even beat it back with a sword. Both my arms are pinned over my head, or however he was stuck down inside that fish's tummy. You heard me when I was there. Cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas and the floods. Compass me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then said I, am cast out of my sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Thy holy temple. Well, is his temple in Jerusalem today? That one's long been destroyed. It's almost like God wanted people to look away from Jerusalem. He's made it the seat of three great religions, and they're always fighting over it. And there's no peace. His temple today is in his people. And folks, the Lord wants us to have a vision of his people. Of his people. Of the way God moves in his people. That is a comfort to us in all the worst troubles that we can get. Every word that's in this Bible was written by a human hand. I grant you God inspired it. When I think about the Lord's temple, I think about this. People that God could use that live close enough to him to write the Bible. But if I can draw comfort from them, I can draw comfort from my spiritual ancestors and their descriptions of the things they underwent, how God stood by them, blessed them, and honored them, and delivered them. Those things are spurs. Those things are comfort to my spirit. When I'm in the depth of trouble, John Bunyan, New Bedford Prison, writing the Pilgrim's Progress, locked him up there for 12 years. Now, his wife had died, had a little blind daughter. His daughter was selling pencils out on the street to try to get enough money to live on while John Bunyan was in the prison for preaching the gospel of all things. And the folks began to give him parole once in a while for good behavior. And when they let him out of jail, what are you supposed to do? Well, go preach some more. You've heard the story as well. One time he was in the middle of a message and he said, I've got to stop. The Lord told me I need to go back. So he went back to the prison and put himself back into jail. And in a little bit, here come the authorities. Inspect to make sure everybody's there. After that, the jailer handed him the keys to his cell and he said, you know better when to go in and out than I know how to tell you. And so when John Bunyan had a burden to go preach somewhere, he'd open the soil, let himself out and go preach for a while. When the Lord would tell him, you better go back, he'd go get in. And then here'd come the inspectors to check on him time after time. Those are the kind of things that give me comfort and courage. Where I am, the Lord knows as well. He'll protect and watch over you and me the same way. If we walk as closely with him, that's the temple. He said, I thought on your temple. I was in the most trouble I've ever been in my life. I thought on the temple. My prayer came unto thee, into thine holy temple. That means when I was as far down as I could get, I thought about other people who've been in the same place. And you were the God who had mercy on them. Maybe if I call on your name like they did, they were subject to like passions as I am, you'll have mercy on me. And the Lord did have mercy on Jonah. It took him a while. I don't know, that 3 days probably got awful long down there. I went down into the bottoms of the mountains. Well, look what he said. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me till it looked like there would never be any way out. Thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I categorize that as feeling absolutely desperate. You ever had claustrophobia? You know what that is? I have a good friend. We went deer hunting. He had a camper shell on his pickup. And laid a sheet of plywood across the right behind the cab, side to side, made his bed up there, so it was just a small space underneath it. Oh, maybe, 18 inches high, something like that. Now, I was going to sleep under there, my head toward the cab and my feet toward the tailgate. Crawled in there and did pretty good. There's room enough I could turn over. But I woke up about 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Everything I could see was black, and when I tried to raise up, I hit that up above me, and I had a sense of panic. It took all the courage and strength that I had to just lay still, make myself realize I'm okay. I can get out of this. I felt like I was going to smother. And I turned around in the bed and looked out at the back where I could see the stars, and then it was all right. Can you imagine being trapped in the belly of a fish with the seaweeds wrapped around your head? I think this is panic. I think this man felt absolutely desperate. And he found, even in that place, where his expression is, the word panic's not in the Bible, he said, "My soul fainted." "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple." We sing a song about it. "In the greatest suffering man may undergo, he shall have the victory if it count it so. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." The Lord spoke to the fish, says, "Enough." Jonah wound up on the dry ground. Jonah wound up in the same place with God that the sailors did. He made his vow. Preacher, prophet, pastor, apostle, saint, young person, old person, it's all the same. It's our vow. Strongest thing we have to give to God is our covenant. Nobody can give tomorrow. The most we can do is give God our promise by his grace of what we're going to be when tomorrow gets here. Scripture said, take words. Sometimes that's all we can take to the Lord. Make him a promise. He'll make a promise back to us. On the strength of the promise comes salvation. Said, "I made my vows. I'll sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed," because I realize, for the Ninevites, for me, for the sailors, for the Israelites, everybody in between, salvation is the answer. Salvation is of the Lord. Folks, there's no use hating anybody for whatever they've done to you in life. Every one of them who've done you wrong, what they need is salvation. And that's what you and I needed. And if there's any difference between us and them, it is salvation. It is the mercy of the Lord. The one who treated you the most in life, to get a good, healthy experience of salvation, it'll make them correct it. It's not the person, it's the devil working through. If you want to blame the devil, hate the devil, that you can do. But it's foolishness to hate another human being because he got caught in the devil's trap. It takes God to go visit somebody like he did these sailors. It takes God to make a fish, to make the storm, to speak to the fish. It takes God to build the faith in a person that caused Jonah to know he needed to call on God. All of it's God. We say to folks, you can't get saved unless the Lord deals with you. That's what we're talking about. These sailors did not even know that they needed to follow this God or just worshiping whatever gods they'd been taught to worship. What else could they do? But God had mercy on them and he showed them what to do. And then they could make some vows. That's part of the effect of our prayers for our own salvation and those we love. Maybe that's enough for this evening. I appreciate the courtesy of your attention.